runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 804, IT Christmas Gifts with guests Joey Snow and Rick Claus. Recorded Friday, October 29th, 2021. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. And here we are coming into Christmas season, and it would not be December if I didn't talk to Patch and Switch. You know those guys. You know, they might be gardeners, they might be IT people, but most of the time they're just talking about gadgets.
Ho frickin' ho.
Hey, last name of Claus, that's mine.
Yeah, that's my right. Yeah. Well, and you know, I thought my beard was going white, friend, but goodness gracious. You know, with a name like Claus, no wonder that thing's getting so white.
It's a magical superpower. Like it automatically started to turn white just when I started to grow it. And now it's come in nice and full, and I've got compliments on the sculpting of it. So I'm learning.
Wow.
Slowly learning.
Look at that. You got some mad hair skills. Who knew?
Mates.
Well, this is one of my favorite shows of the year. It's the, you know, I don't have a lot of indulgences around this kind of thing, but people sure like to do that, like this show, and I like doing it with you guys. So thanks so much for coming on again. We're the people that everyone hates to buy for.
Oh, nice.
Right? It's horrifying. I certainly live a life where my relationship with my friends' spouses are either you cannot buy anything until you talk to Richard first, or you never talk to Richard because he always makes you buy things.
That's exactly it.
Nothing in between the two, right?
It's nail on the head right there.
One or the other. Who wants to go first? Who's got a goodie?
Well, do we have categories we have to start with? Like, you know, dollar values or just kind of things?
Just
or like
roll with it. I say we roll with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've picked out a stocking stuffer and wow, if I won the lottery, okay, I would buy. So, you know, and I suspect you have too.
So I've got one.
Okay.
So some people may have already invested in this kind of thing for the stay-at-home, work-from-home, COVID situation crap that we've been dealing with for the last
2 years.
Yeah. Eon. But for me, it's actually like investing in a good gaming monitor.
Oh,
and then you have a price range. And so my low-end price range is going to be going with – I'm a fan of Asus, and so I'm going to be going with an Asus 32-inch curved gaming monitor. They've got a quite nice one. 1 millisecond refresh rate, 166 hertz or gigahertz or megahertz. I don't know. Some kind of hertz. It just hurts.
listening and, you to know, you slaughter that hurts.
I know. It's kind of rough. So, you know, but that one there, you can literally pick them up for 14, like for HD, not the 4Ks. You can pick them up for HD. That works fine with my generation of the Xbox and or my computer or my PC, whatever it happens to be. You can get them for like 200 and change.
Yeah,
so they're
yeah.
Not too bad. But then at the high end scale of things, I don't know if Joey got this one yet or not, but the 49-inch Samsung.
That is the beast,
like
isn't it? Yeah.
$1,200 is like three monitors side by side with no bezel. You know, that's the high end one. But like for me, that's absolutely on my list because I'm just using a old 4K super slow, business, boring, looking at Word documents kind of monitor right now. So I got to upgrade. So
well, I have a deep appreciation for it. This is something you use every day.
Well, it's almost as important as what's inside of the PC box that you're running off of. But really, as you mentioned, you can have a slow, older 5th gen system PC, but if you got a sweet ass monitor, it's hooked up.
It's okay. Well, and you're more likely to upgrade your PC than you are to upgrade your monitor. So it's well worth when you go to buy a monitor, buy the really good one because you're going to live with it far longer than you should.
Yeah. So I've got the old office style one from Samsung, and I'm really kind of saying
it's time
to get me a nice refresh rate. Yeah. Time to do it.
I pulled the trigger on one of these, and I picked up the Dell 3220 DGF, which is the 32-inch, slightly curved. It's slightly curved.
Just a little.
It's a gorgeous monitor, 165 hertz monitor. It's gorgeous. Love it. It's you can get it right around $400. I know right now it's I think it's a little bit more, but it goes on sale quite frequently for right around $399. So highly recommend that one as we were talking about monitors. But yeah, that's kind of the in between, right? You can go lower range, you can go mid range, and then you can. What's it like to share that desktop on a 49-inch monitor? That's got anyway. I digress.
Yeah, you know what? You share Windows. I have the Dell 43-inch 4K. Which okay. is really a confession of my age that I need a 100 yes. DPI 4K screen because I'm losing all of my pixels. I'm not zooming nothing.
Oh, I love it.
And that thing's come down in price. In American dollars, it's under $1,000 now. So
yeah,
but that's so it's a lot of screen.
A tip would be for everybody that's listening on this one here is if you do have to share stuff, I have a dedicated second monitor,
right,
which is your old 1080p. HP system for $100, whatever it is, someplace, like just regular everyday work monitor. And that's the one that becomes your demo and your sharing monitor when you have to share stuff. Because yeah. I can't do Windows. I don't understand.
Yeah.
That's
good advice. So, just keep a 1080p monitor. And that's why I need another monitor, dear. I'm just trying to do my job. That's all it is.
Nice. So I don't know if I'm coming out big or what, but to me, it's the perfect kind of gift.
None of those are stocky stuffers. They're incredibly important. And it's, I mean, I would argue from an the cobbler's children have no shoes. Mm-hmm. We often don't do this for ourselves.
Like, right. That's right.
If there's a big ticket spend for the IT person in your life, it's a really good monitor. Fair. But you are going to spend, you know, for big a good one. Dollars. Yeah. $1,000 for a good, really good top tier monitor. Yeah. And we all jumped into the monitor conversation, which I love. But Joey, you're up, man. What do you think?
Okay. I'm going big time with this, Richard. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Paper airplane.
What's paper airplane?
Seriously? Like
100%. This is not your average everyday paper airplane.
Oh.
This is one that is controlled via your smartphone, a Bluetooth device.
Oh no. This is awesome.
Seriously?
It can go up to 25 miles an hour. Has gyro stabilization. You can do aerobatics.
What?
And it literally comes in and you fold the paper and the paper is in quotes because the paper is actually crash proof carbon fiber.
What is
and it like, has templates.
Is this power up? Are you talking about power up?
Is this like $1,000 or something like that? What is this?
It is $100 or less.
Wow.
Wow. And it's carbon fiber paper airplane Bluetooth control with gyroscopic stabilization.
Yep, it's got an engine and a little motor and a little cockpit that you put on the front that has all the controls in it. And
I love it. That's so great.
This is amazing. You can find it on Uncommon Goods. So uncommongoods.com. It is the smartphone controlled paper airplane. I mean, you want to talk about a gift that nobody would buy for yourself, but you have to have.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally unique. I can see that.
Well, and just and a ton of fun. Like you will just goof around with this for some period of time.
It's better than those dime a dozen like gyroscopic remote control helicopters that were popular a couple of years ago. Those are all over the place, but they don't last.
Yeah. So you know what? Those do not mix with terriers. Ask me how I know.
I could see my dog.
I didn't know my dog could jump that high. I swear. I literally lifted off the countertop and got past the countertop, and then he killed it for me. And he was very pleased. He was very pleased as he shook hard and parts went in all corners of the room. It's like, got it. Next.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man.
I love it. That's brilliant.
How about you, Mr. Campbell? We're going all over on price and stuff. So,
if you haven't spent time with these new microcontrollers, you're missing out. You know, the just released, we're recording this the end of October, like just before Halloween, the Raspberry Pi Zero W.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen it advertised.
Yeah. The Raspberry Pi Zero has been around for a while, and it's like a $5. Remarkably capable little computer, but it had no accessories. You always had to add a dongle for Wi-Fi, a dongle for Bluetooth, like whatever you needed. The W is $10 and comes with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth in it. So you maybe add an HDMI dongle on, stick it on the back of a monitor and control it. Like you'll never put a head on it, right? You would never need to. You talk about a stocking stuffer for a geek. $10. Like you buy several of them with dip. right?
Storage capabilities. I'm not familiar with the specs on the Ws.
They got SD, depending on the unit, they've all got SD cards, which...
Oh, yeah. So we're not talking M2 drives or anything like that. Like, just SD cards.
No, no. You can... There are shields you can add to it to put M2 on it if you want.
Okay.
Right.
So I will confess, I've had problems with my Raspberry Pis because either the power isn't stable enough for them,
right,
to ends up corrupting my SD and have to go and redo it again. But like, has that gotten better with this new platform?
They're generally better. I would say several, because people use Pis for extended period of time, like you're going to do the Pi whole thing or stuff and stuff like that. I mean, the first off is don't use cheap SDs. Like, come on.
That's my first problem, is it?
Yeah, if you're going to run it long enough that you care that it runs all day or it's part of the house where, you know, non-tech people need to live with it, spend the money on the real, on the good SD, or get the shield for an M2 or better storage device in general.
Okay.
What I like about the Zeros is they're fun. They're toys. They're for lab. As soon as you get serious and want something that's going to run 24 hours a day, go get a Pi 4 and get the good one. Get the good power supply. Get the good SD. Now you're into it for $60. Dun, dun, dun.
Careful.
Yeah, but something that'll actually
That's the last one you want to run your Kubernetes cluster off of, right?
Yeah.
Not the $5 ones.
Yeah.
For expendable computing.
Somebody just screamed at their at their phone or whatever they're listening at that you just
think
said
I
that.
I made of money.
You could totally run production Kubernetes on one of those things. I tell you.
At least for
a minute.
Do you
have a disclaimer you can play? Just out of curiosity. Do you play disclaimer before we come on your show, Richard?
Nice.
I thought that was my open. I called you Patch and Switch for a reason. You know what those guys are up to.
We're always in trouble. It's not our fault. We were left unsupervised. I've got another one here for you. Mm-hmm. It's kind of buying into the home automation, because you mentioned automation and infrastructure, stuff like that. Trust me, I know. I've been here outside of my house, down visiting the opposite side of the continent in Atlantic Canada, visiting my parents. And my Raspberry Pi went down at the house.
Back
and that's
home.
The Pi hole.
Right.
Blame on DNS. I managed to get it back up again. That's why I asked about the power supply. So doing some of the home automation stuff, the thing that I was coming up with was really getting into, because I've got some aging parents, getting into the Echo shows.
Oh, nice.
There's been some new devices that were announced at the Amazon event the end of September, I think it was, time frame wise. And there's two of them that I'm actually contemplating now upgrading to. One of them, it's not available for purchase yet, is the new Echo Show 15. That's the hang-on-your-wall version of the Amazon device, which gives you live calendar updates and recipe ideas and all sorts of craziness that I haven't even looked into just yet. So that one there is going to be available. I think that's around $300 or something like that, U.S. Mm-hmm. And then in lieu of that one there, if you need to get one more immediately, would be the 10 version. And that's the scary one that has the head
that rotates. The little gimbal head thing going on?
The gimbal head rotates to where you are, but only when you're using it, like you call attention to it to say, you know, Alexa, do this, then it turns towards you. Or if you're doing the video piece to it as well. But then to amp it up, to go even more, you can ask to join, at least right now, because we're doing this at the end of October, their first edition platform for the Amazon Astro. Have you heard of this one?
Oh, the robot. Yeah.
Robot dog.
The robot thing. Dog.
It looks like a dog to me. I think it's a combination of a Roomba with a version 10 Echo Show with a Ring camera on it or something like that. They morphed all these things.
Oh, everything's fine with it until you see the little telescoping camera come out and go up. Like, it's very cute with its little eyes and little rolling around and so forth. And then the periscope comes out. You're like, all right.
I'm going to go for the Astro, but I am
they're like $1,000 though. That's not a trivial.
$1,000, but like what? That's like almost, that's about the price of a Roomba these days, isn't it? The high-end Roombas?
Except for the part where it doesn't vacuum. Yeah.
Well, true. How would your terrier treat the Astro, do you think, if it took out your helicopter?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a very elderly terrier now, so I don't think you pay a lot of attention. But a fit, healthy one, I think it would be a Roomba reaction for the most part, which is dogs avoid them, cats ride them.
It's true.
Right.
So for me, the show, again, mostly for my situation, it's automation of being able to check in on my father. He's in his 80s right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the other side of the country. So the ability to go through and very simply have some, you know, equivalent to video chat, Teams, Skype, FaceTime, whatever your poison happens to be, the show does a pretty good job at it. So.
Well, and I appreciate the Astro. I mean, you could go anywhere in his space and check on him too, which, I mean, all of this stuff lives firmly in the uncanny valley, right? Like, you creep yourself out, much less anybody else.
Nice.
But for someone, for an elderly parent living on their own, it's pretty legit, man. Like, really, you know, it can make the difference. No, I appreciate your thinking, man. It's clever. And I've been admiring the Astro and wondering, yeah, no, if I want to live alone, I can have one of those.
I'd be worried it tries to come find me somewhere, or it's, you know, knowing me, it would probably end up going down the stairs.
Yeah, both things my terrier does, comes to find me and goes down the stairs.
Yeah.
All right, cool stuff. Joey.
Hey, if you know anything about me, you know I'm all about the RGBs.
We're going to do the color the LED strips?
Well, so, you know, obviously this is an audio only show, but you see behind me, I've got.
Yeah, so go ahead and show me stuff, friend. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. But listen, not everyone wants to go through the cost of hanging up LED panels and those kinds of things, because I love my Nanoleaf stuff. And they've got this great little, these new strips. I think they're not called strips. I forget what they're called, but they're essentially lines. I think they're called Nanoleaf lines. But listen, there's a low cost option for the low cost of about $60. Have you seen these Bliss Lights skylights?
No.
Which is essentially like galaxy lighting, a nebula lamp.
What?
These things are amazing. You can grab it up on Amazon. They've got two versions. One's the 1.0, but I'm looking at the 2.0, which is which you can actually control with your phone and so on and so forth. But it says essentially does projections, holographic projections of like galaxies and stars and really cool lighting, accent lighting, right? So I've seen a lot of these on streams.
A kid would kill for this in their room, right? Just to make the coolest room ever.
Forget the kid.
Well,
there's no way in hell my wife would let me have this in our bedroom, but I 100% would love this.
I could be into that. Yeah, for sure.
So it's the Bliss Light Skylight 2.0. It's an RGB LED laser star projector. So super cool. It can do more than just stars.
Is it accurate to the real galaxy universe, or is it just random look like stars? Constellations?
How would you know?
Well, because you can point your phone at it and it would tell you, wouldn't it?
So it's really about special effects lighting, I think, is what we're looking at here versus. Yeah. You know, that level
it's
of
not
of
a planetarium.
Detail, you're not going to build a planetarium in your living room. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
So I'm a big fan of this. It's super cool looking. Actually considering maybe picking one of these up just for the office here when I'm not using the full lighting.
Right. Yeah. But it'd be interesting to stream with that in your background. You know, it's just a question of the battle of your fill lights versus background lights.
At least 2 or 3 FPS better because it is RGB.
Yeah, so it's extra cool.
You get a little bit of extra frames for sure.
For sure. Yep. And gentlemen, I need to take a break for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by the SQL Server and Azure SQL Conference at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, December 7th to 9th. You've heard the SQL Q&A shows we publish on Run As twice a year from the conference. That is a microcosm of the 5 days of fantastic learning available to you from the real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team that speak at the show. Learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as insight into the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, working in the cloud, and exploring all the new features of the latest version of SQL Server. And if you've still got questions by the end of the week, join the conference's closing session and be part of the SQL Q&A show on Run As Radio. The SQL Server and Azure SQL Conference is at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, December 7th to 10th. And I'll see you there. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. It's our Christmas gadget show, and I've got Joey Snow and Rick Kloss here with me, scattered around the world, talking about our favorite things. I believe I am up. And
yes, it's all right. The pressure's on you, Mr. Campbell.
How are you going to kick off the second segment?
Second segment with some home automation. You did a little home automation, or all sort of gadgeting. And actually a reference back to Raspberry Pi, too, because I have fallen down the Home Assistant path. Now, Home Assistant, if you haven't looked recently, has gone through a transformation. Home Assistant was very much purely an open source. You need to have a certain level of technical skill. You're willing to run some Linux and a fairly significant infrastructure in your house. But about a year or so ago, they sort of evolved. I think two important things happened. One was they made really good phone clients for Android and iOS, so that you could. They have a dashboard syncing system called Lovelace. And so if you, Home Assistant is this abstraction, sits on top of all your other home automation, so you can all have it in one place. And then Lovelace would literally generate your dashboard based on everything that was in there. And you could see it on your phone. The problem, of course, is now you have to set up a working VPN, you know, to be able to connect to your house in an efficient way. And so wisely, the Home Assistant folks set up a web proxy called Nabucasa. $5 a month, your phone attaches through that, so you don't need to do VPN stuff and all that complexity. Well, one of the things that happened with $5 a month, and 30,000 people signed up for the flipping thing. So suddenly they had a cash flow and a motivation to support people other than us. And so they've gotten real serious on security. Their customer base has grown hugely. They're supporting an even larger range of equipment, and it's a lot easier to manage. But normal mortals can't make this thing run on a Raspberry Pi. Like, it's not enough. And so as of late, there's now dedicated hardware available for Home Assistant. They're essentially mini PCs, like the step above a Raspberry Pi. And I've had it played with a couple of them. So you can run them in VMs. You can run them, you know, if you've got other hardware, you can repurpose an old machine and so forth. But if you buy a dedicated machine for this, they're not expensive. The one I recommend is called the Home Assistant Blue. And you can search on that just by Blue. $150. And what they are is, a kind of Raspberry Pi scale machine, like an Odroid machine designed to run 24 hours a day silently. So solid state, heat sunk, quality equipment so that your home automation device is reliable.
Very interesting. I was not aware of that level of abstraction that's possible.
Well, yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, listen, if you're in a Home Assistant, it's really fun to talk to other Home Assistant people. And if you're not, it's incredibly annoying. So I do everything I can to
Is it kind of like people doing CrossFit or something like that?
You're exactly right.
It's the CrossFit version of Home Assistant.
Yeah, for home automation geeks, right? It's one of those things is like, once you need Home Assistant, then I will help you. You can get started with your Amazon stack or your Google stack or your SmartThings stack and so forth. And I'm happy to, you know, give people advice on take a look at this and try that and so forth. Because you can't start with Home Assistant. Home Assistant is still a lot. And you don't understand why am I going through this process until you've done a bunch of home automation without it. And you've gotten to a point where it's like, okay, I now have these three things. I like them all and they do not like each other. It's like, all right, let me introduce you to Home Assistant because that's how we're going to bridge that gap and make all of these things get along better.
Nice.
And just that smarter level of automation, just a little more thoughtful about stuff, being able to think in the abstract about, I know when sunrise and sunset are, so I can offset all my schedules based on what the daylight is like. And I can tie in the house response to the fact that my wife's phone is returned onto the network. So we know she's home and, you know, a bunch of things can happen automatically. And as we go onto vacation mode, you know, all stuff you could have done by hand or configured multiple things for live in one place now. So there's a button that says prep the guest room on a tablet on the wall in the kitchen, right? So nice. If somebody's going to come and stay, you press get. And what does that mean, actually? It means the thermostats gets enabled and the heated floor turns on and the lights configure correctly. And it's like all of these steps happen.
Does someone make the bed for you too or not?
Well, that was done a while ago. But more importantly, when they're gone, it's like the shut down the guest room and all that stuff gets turned back off. And it's like one thing was a Nest and the other thing was Lutron and the other thing was Misa. And it's like, and again, you could have all done it with apps or some other thing, but having one place that all that stuff was, that's the Home Assistant role.
Super cool.
And so the dedicated hardware is, I'm not dabbling anymore. I need this to work.
I'm getting serious.
Yeah.
So So you've already piqued my interest. I have to go and do some more research on it. So I'm sure I'll fall down that rabbit hole. Thank you very much.
Just
for
call me
wasting the next month. Yeah.
You said month. That's so cute. Hilarious. I'm 18 months in, man.
And I don't see the bottom yet.
There is no bottom. It's like the edge of the universe. There is no edge.
Nice.
There's only things you haven't done yet. That's all there is.
Craziness. Craziness. Well, I could go again with another thing, which is simply cash added to your parking meter, because I just ran out of parking again for the co-working space that I'm at. And I just got notified that I'm out of space. But
that's not a gift.
I know, it's not a gift. That's just that's a operational cost that I forgot to cover. For a stocking stuffer style price, potentially, again, because I've been doing some traveling and I've started to appreciate, like yourself, Mr. Campbell, not so much Joey, but Mr. Campbell for sure, is I've appreciated whiskey these days.
Oh.
A travel set of whiskey glasses. Pretty simple. There's some very nice ones that I picked up for, I think, $35, I think it was. What was the brand? There's some famous brand name or whatever it was.
Like a Glencairn?
It was a Glencairn, but it's a leather sleeve that is hard shelled, like the size of a whiskey bottle that you open up, and it opens up like a cam shell, a glass in the top, glass in the bottom.
Nice.
Traditional kind of set, nice and simple, just because, you know, sometimes you got to have the proper glass to be able to appreciate whatever it is you might decide to decant into it. Yeah, this was actually a Glencairn whiskey glass set of two in a leather travel case.
Very nice. Well, and it's
so fancy.
It's a statement you make to the folks here around you to appear with your own whiskey glass.
Would
anyone like some whiskey? Yes, sir. I have. My
glass. As a matter of fact, I just happen to have my glasses with me.
Nothing wrong with a good Glencairn glass. You know, I have nothing bad to say about that.
You know, everything's going retro nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vinyl is back.
To the point where you can't buy it. Like, it's too popular.
Oh, so for the first time in, I believe, 15 years, vinyl has outsold CD.
I love that. That's got more to... I think that has a bigger statement about how irrelevant CDs are.
Maybe, yes, absolutely.
There's a whole generation of people who are like, what is this CD you speak of?
Yes, exactly. Compact disc? What? What is this vinyl? Going one step further on that path, instant cameras making a huge return. And, you know, the name brand in instant cameras, Polaroid.
Yeah, classic.
They have just released this new camera. It's about $110, $120. It is the Polaroid One Step Plus Bluetooth connected instant film camera. So it is still the simple, you know, easy to use point and shoot kind of instant camera, and you get the instant, you know, film, and it develops as you're watching it.
It still looks like the old camera from the 70s.
100%.
It's the same style, but it has Bluetooth in it.
Yes, yeah. And it's complete with the little rainbow design on the front. Oh, 100% 1970. What? This is amazing.
That's delightful.
But one of the cool things is
why
is
it's ruin got it with Bluetooth? Lenses. Like, why Bluetooth?
Well, you need longer arms. You need longer arms sometimes, right?
Yeah. So there is a portrait lens, and then you've got a standard lens. So portrait from 1 to 3 feet, standard lens from 3 feet to infinity.
Oh my goodness!
But the cool thing is that the Bluetooth connectivity allows you to do fun things like adjust some of the manual modes that you can get from the lens. You're not going to get the kind of like 35 millimeter adjustments, but like you could do like cool things like double exposure.
Love it.
Where you've got two scenes in a single frame. Talk about circa 1979 family photos.
That
right?
used to be a malfunctioning land camera, but okay.
100%.
I love it.
100%. But this is the next retro thing. Listen, my two teenagers love their Polaroid type cameras.
Yeah.
They're just having a blast with it. And if you still want to have like we've got amazing cameras that we carry around with us in our pockets with our smartphones. And you don't want to go down the route of an instant camera, there's also some fantastic little printers that you can little portable Bluetooth printers that print very similar prints to like what a Polaroid would look like. So yep. They're very retro.
You know what occurs to me with this Polaroid camera? This takes all the social media pressure off. You no longer have to worry about this is going to show up in XYZ account. It's a physical print. That's physical all there print. Is. There it's, is no
so
more.
So we should rebrand this and remarket this as a high security.
Yeah. Social media cam. Free camera experience. Yeah.
High security social media cam.
That's brilliant. And I love that it's the younger generation that's enjoying it. It's not just us old farts who remember this thing.
No, listen, my oldest is, you know, she's running around now with the disposable cameras.
What's right? So what
that you actually have to develop.
That you have to send away to develop.
What is up with that? Did someone find a container that came off of a boat from China that's like full of these things? They're selling them at discount or something like that? Because a lot of them are running around with these disposable cameras.
Yeah, they've always been there. Yeah. They've been big in the wedding industry.
Yeah, no, I've been at a wedding where everybody had a disposable camera sitting on the table and it's like just take pictures, right?
So they just, like I said, retro's kind of back. It's kind of cool. It's kind of fun to see. When I saw this new Polaroid camera that with the Bluetooth capability that you can do some fun little things even with a simple little Polaroid, I was like, this has to go on the show.
Yeah, without a doubt. I love it. Brilliant. Safe stocking stuffer that everybody needs is the good USB chargers. The ones that come in the box are lousy. And if you haven't spent some time on the Anker website, ANKER, like, listen, you use USB charging every day. Just have a good charger. You know, it's not that tough. The new generation, the Anker Nano Pros, they're so compact, you can plug them into a power bar and not block any other power outlets when you do that.
Oh, nice.
They charge at absolute full power, like 2 amps. If your device can take it, they're smart enough to scale automatically. They make a 40-watt version that has 2 full power USB-C jacks on it. If you go further down, like their big power ports, like you want to make friends at an airport, you know, back when that was a thing. Like I'd show up, somebody's hogging the one charger. I'd pull out my big Anker. It's like, hey, how about we all charge and we all charge faster?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Anker owes me commission. I have sold a lot of those things at an airport, plugging in. Everybody gets to plug in, so they're all happy. And then everybody notices, wow, we got a lot more charge for these full power chargers. They're not that expensive. $20, $30.
Those little nano bricks, I'm replacing almost everything with them. Yeah. I used to have the larger ones that did multiple, have multiple ports, the Anker ones, right? Yeah. To travel with. And I still have one or two of those, but I used to have those around the house.
Yeah.
They're all going away, all being replaced by the nano ones. And I want to throw in one other thing in terms of charging. Our esteemed audio engineer, Mr. Jared Shockley,
Jay Shock,
wanted to chime in with his gift idea. And this is right down the same pathway. And it's an Anker power brick.
Yep.
Because he's gone the RV lifestyle, right? So batteries matter because he's got the RV now. So he recommends the Anker PowerCore plus the 26800 mAh battery.
The big brick,
Yep, the big brick to have. And it's also great because you're entering the season of storms and, you know, power outages and those kinds of things. So he wanted to chime in. That's a great stocking stuffer, probably right around the $40 range.
No, you can't fly with that one. If you could fly, you can't fly with that large one.
Yeah,
that's correct.
That is a
home baster for the RV or for the camper, for hanging outside, listening to the.
I admit I absolutely a few years ago for my girls, the stocking stuffer was new power bricks.
Oh, yeah,
you know, and they were in pastel colors with nice, you know, they looked nice too. But it's like enough with the struggling for charge. Here's a 10,000 milliamp battery. You're going to be good. You'll be fine.
Stop bugging me. Stop taking mine.
Yeah.
Stop
taking my battery. So yeah, I also similarly outfitted the entire house, except that I've not gone the nano route. A couple years ago, we all have the Anker multi-port, super high-end, big power distribution unit, plus everybody cables. Because I always, always, always give good cables because they get them once a year.
Yeah. Just like socks, right?
Them once a year. It's just like socks.
I go shopping on mono price.
New socks and underwear in the stocking stuffer, but you get new cables and new battery bricks that you can use as well.
And get rid of those cheap cables that are falling apart and not working correctly and causing problems, like ruin your life with bad cables.
an unrecognized accessory was just plugged. I hate that.
All right, everybody got one more in them.
I've got one that kind of goes along that line, okay. Kind of in line with this. Also, stocking stuffer as well I don't even know what the name of it is, but it's I've seen it advertised. I'm a sucker for Facebook and for Instagram ads that come up and stuff like that. But
yep.
It's the port cleaner brush.
Oh,
it's the tool that allows you to clean all the pocket lint from your phone's devices. It's got a little brush inside of it, a little bit of sandpaper types. Area to be able to take off any corrosion, clean it all out, swab it up. So it's like four different heads on top of this little like disc that you can use to be able to go off and clean out your various different USB-C and Thunderbolt lightning cable connections.
Love it. I've never seen one of those. My cleaner gizmo has, I've got the goo. Have you seen this stuff? For cleaning keyboards and so forth, where you literally just...
Oh, sorry, for keyboards and stuff.
Yeah, but it works great for a USB port, too. Just cram it in there, pull it out.
Oh, yeah?
Be appalled at what comes out stuck to it.
Oh, yeah,
it's the scary shocking. Part. Shocking.
That's the scary part.
Out. Yeah. But
I'm going to have to pick some of that up. I need to clean my keyboard.
Yeah. And then you get smitten with it. You keep cleaning your keyboard because it's like I get very used to this thing is very clean. But, yeah, okay, I've never seen a brush designed to clean inside of a USB port.
So it's called a PurePort Multi-Tool Kit Clean and Repair. So it's about $30. It comes with six different attachments to be able to clean all the different stages of degraded port connectors.
Love
it. Are we sharing the links for all this sort of stuff?
I've been collecting them as we've been going. So because people yell at us if I don't have the link. So I'm collecting the links as we've gone. I pretty much got them all. So I'll check back with your set as well. Joey, yeah. One more.
So one more, and I'm going to repeat because this gift changed everything for me over the last year. 2 years since we've done this. It's the, It's the iFixit Tech Toolkit.
Oh, yeah. No, that was last year's. And it was the number one link and the most clicked on link from the show, too, by the way.
So I'm going to enhance that, however. And it's great to have the toolkit. And so I just got a new PC, which was a pre-built. But I wanted to swap some things out, make some adjustments, and then make sure everything was seated. And I had all of the, you know, all of the screws and all of the screwdrivers and the right bits and everything like that. I've done minor surgery on a iPad device. Nice. By being able to separate things using the separator. But listen, get a project mat.
Oh, if you yeah. Said,
The project mat that's like anti-static, you can set it down on any surface. It's got little like compartments, little kind of squares cut out in it that you can put your screws in and everything. Because I was actually working on multiple machines at the same time. The brand new one that I got took the old one. I wanted to swap some fans, put some new fans in it, and add some things. So I had all the different screws, different things torn apart at different times. Because why would you complete one project before you move to the next one? That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
That's why I have a whole room of this stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So it's the project mat. This is, it sits in the corner most of the time, but when I need to sit down and I need to work on a gadget, when I need to work on my PCs, when I'm cleaning things, taking apart the PC to clean it out or other devices, it's amazing to have that there. The iFixit toolkit though, they're available now. You can get them in retailers now.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen them at Best Buy. I've seen them around. So this is just, I've used this toolkit more. I got a bunch of tools for last Christmas. Mm-hmm. I've used this more than about anything other than a powered screwdriver.
Wow. That's amazing. And I get that. It's also one of those tool sets that's like, just because you have these tools doesn't mean you necessarily know how to take apart. Like, be very careful. There are some tricky things.
Their website's really good, though.
Yeah,
their website is really good.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've swapped out thermometer batteries that I never thought I could because how do you pry this thing apart without completely shredding it? You've got all the tools.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. That's really cool. All right, my last one, maybe a little controversial, considering the news right now, is the Oculus Quest.
See, you know, we picked one up last year. I concur. It's cool.
It's pretty cool. The Facebook's just the time shifting here. I don't know what's going to happen by the time this publishes. Facebook's renamed itself to Meta. This is all that metaverse stuff. Like, I know Microsoft's also talking metaverse too, so it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. But, you know, the Quest 2 is the wireless one. You're no longer needing a high-performance tied to your PC, that kind of thing. Right. It's impressive what it's capable of doing. And this is not cheap. It's a few hundred dollars, but...
Right. My concern with it, because we picked one up for Christmas last year, I managed to get onto one, is it's tied to only one account. Yeah. So it's really crappy for a family.
And a Facebook account at that.
And it's a Facebook account at that. You know, I could probably deal with it just because I could, but it's really only limited to one. So if you purchase a game or if you want to do something, it's only that one person that has information stored. But
it doesn't seem like an accident. Cool.
Yeah, I know, eh? You all need to have them or something like that?
Something but like that.
To kind of up that, since we're talking about metaverse type stuff, I'm going to throw this one as a bonus or not, whatever it is as an audio person, yourself and all of us, what about this Dolby Atmos stuff with 3D sound and soundscapes inside of the metaverse? Is that something that's worth exploring yet, or is that purely just... hype?
Well, I mean, Dolby Atmos is a real thing.
No, right? Totally, it's a real thing.
Yeah, yes, without a doubt. But is it going to be a metaverse thing? I don't know. Let's figure out what the metaverse is in the first place before we worry about how good it sounds.
But I thought it was the next Marvel movie. That just shows you where I'm at right now. Yeah. But
like seriously, the Oculus, augmented reality, virtual reality, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's just visual side, but having to have some level of a 3D soundscape. Atmos is one of those ones that can provide that for you, supposedly. And there's obviously other competing ones to it as well. But I haven't enabled any headphones with them yet because you got to buy the support for it. But throw it out as an extra.
So it's just software, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
It reminds me of Stacker. I can get more RAM without installing more RAM. Okay.
Sure. That's funny. Sure. What could go wrong?
Oh, man. Well, quite a roster of links I've been grabbing as we've been going along here. More than last year. How's that? So,
hey, we've upped the game, Mr. Campbell. We've upped the game.
You've totally upped the game, without a doubt. And I hope this is coming out right at the beginning of December. I hope it helps folks that are trying to shop for IT pros. I know it is tough to buy stuff right now. The global supply chain is pretty messed up. So, you know, dig around, do your different suppliers, do your best to see what you can find. And good luck to everyone. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on the show again. Ton of fun.
Always a blast. So great to speak with you and the Renaz audience, and just wish everybody an amazing holiday season. This is going to be better than last year. That's all we have to do, right?
For sure. Absolutely. And we'll talk to you next time on Renaz Radio.